.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Get more out of summer when you get more from the Home Depot and trusted brands like Behr Paint. Beat the summer heat by taking on a paint project indoors. And keep things cool with 4th of July savings on paint and all the supplies you need. We're making sure now is the perfect time to give your home a refresh. How cool is that? 4th of July savings, only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Bart and Han.
I played in the NFL for 11 years. I would watch guys go to the bathroom with their gym bag in the stall. It's cheating me because I'm not playing against regular people. I played against Peyton Hillis in Denver, and he went down easy. I played this dude as a Jet. This dude took my hit, five other hits, and stood over me, the mad backer, and growled.
Barton Hahn, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Quarterfinal action, 95th minute. Switzerland, a late goal to tie Spain, 1-1. Spanish with the ball. Clock is a-ticking in the penalty box, and it's stolen away. We'll keep you posted as to how this goes. It's game one of two today. Brian and Ola East, for now. What is he going to be again, Jordan? You came up with a good one.
The mile high.
Brian's really mile high?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's coming because he's moving to Denver.
You know what? I think I might do that. I might change my Twitter handle to like Truly Mile High or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It
could happen.
Well, and then you may not get suspended nearly.
Well, it looks like.
What are you on? What account is this?
14.
14.
But I'm holding steady. I can't keep track of them all. Holding steady on 14.
I was surprised when I saw on Twitter that you were back.
Well, my last account got suspended because apparently some racist guy decided he didn't like the fact that I called him a racist.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, okay.
No, when you say that, you know, darker skinned women, you know, that are, you know, black or charcoal, I have a problem with that. Not spoke on it.
Charcoal, huh?
Yeah, charcoal. You know, you compare black people to charcoal. I mean, I'm going to have a problem with it. Not sure if you noticed, but I'm black. Newsflash.
But you're not charcoal.
Wait, seriously?
You know, right?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know either.
I thought you were just tan.
Really tan.
Well, you know, I mean, you and I aren't that.
We're not that far apart.
I'm very far apart.
Well, I like the tan.
Well, I mean, when he wears the shirt like that, it's kind of our color. Yeah. You know, he's got a little charcoal.
There you go.
Polo.
Charcoal, speaking of.
He does have a charcoal, you know, polo. Jordan Kleber, Gus Kattengill, Brian and Ola East, at least for today. As of now. Schmidt's interesting tweet just now. Stan Van Gundy spoke. He was on the Stupidity podcast, of course, with Stu Gotts from the Day and Levitard show. I'll quickly play some of those things real quick to kind of refresh you, get here, what you have to say. Rafael Esparza, Ross Jackson as well. Coming at what? What are you?
Well, the NBA just tweeted out a minute ago, what? Welcome to the Dew Zone with Drewski. Is that how you say it? I think it's Drewski. A podcast hosted by Drewski Too Funny and presented by Mountain Dew. Learn the stories behind your favorite Hoopers and celebrity fans. And apparently another Pelican was on that podcast. Can you guess what Pelican was on that podcast?
Drewski?
Yeah.
Drew Holiday?
No, listen to Zion Williamson.
Oh, really? Zion was on this?
Yeah.
What did he have to say?
I don't know. I just saw it pop up a minute ago.
Oh, boy.
It just came out.
Okay. Well, Brian, would you like to hear what Stan Van Gundy had to say, specifically about certain things? We heard about the youth of this team, and I thought that was interesting from that perspective. The dismissal, was it a joint decision?
David Griffin made it sound like this was a we decision, that we agonized over this decision. That's the way it came out, at least from where we were sitting. Is there truth to that? Was this a joint decision? Stan, I know you. You wanted to keep coaching this team in particular.
Well, you know, but I would say it was joint in this sense that, you know, and I think you can understand this. I don't want to be somewhere where they don't want me. And they didn't want me. And so I wasn't at that point gonna fight to try to stay there. So it wasn't, a mutual decision. It was funny when I left Detroit, my owner there, who I really liked, Tom Gores, also said it was a mutual decision. And I said, yeah, Tom asked me to leave. And so I left. I guess that's mutual. It's mutual. And, you know, this is the same thing. But it was clear, you know, I think in our postseason meetings here in New Orleans that, you know, it's fair to say that we were just, and I don't want to get into a lot of the details of it.
Sure.
But we just weren't on the same page at all about, you know, what coaching is all about and how coaches should be judged and everything else. We just look at coaching totally differently. And that became clear, you know, probably a little bit during the season, but certainly after the season. We're just on two totally different pages. And, you know, who's right, who's wrong would be up to anybody's individual perspective, but we certainly did not see things the same way.
One more that I want to put into, then again, your phone calls are welcomed right now. 800-981-003 at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. What an incredible save. Oh my gosh.
That face is worth a couple
mil. I wouldn't call it a save.
No.
right in his beak.
Well, right in the dome.
He saved it. You know, Spain was about to go up 2-1. He was asked, Brian, who would he suggest actually get the job?
I don't know, but it was funny because one of the names getting mentioned as a finalist is Jock Vaughn. I love Jock, but Jock followed me in Orlando. So, you know, I'm like, you know, Jock, make this one work because I'm not taking another one. I can't clear the path for you there. You know, so I don't know who I would. I think, quite honestly, you know, if it were me, I'd stay in house and go with like Fred Vinson, because that I worry about these young guys are now will be on their third coach in 3 years. And for guys like Ingram, who came from LA, you know, his fourth coach in 4 years, because he went from Luke Walton to Alvin Gentry to me. And I think that's hard for guys. I think it's hard for anybody if the system and everything, the terminology, all of that is changing a lot, but especially for young guys. And if you stick with a guy like Fred Vinson, he's been here even before Alvin Gentry, but you know, he was with Alvin, so he knows what the players went through then. He was with me. He knows what the players went through then. And he doesn't have to redo everything. He can stay with some stuff that is familiar to guys to ease the transition while at the same time putting his own imprint on the team. Now, I will say, I think it's highly unlikely that David Griffin or Trajan Langdon will ask for my input on the coaching.
But if they do, make sure you're laying in that bed, okay?
Yes, highly unlikely, but if it were me, it makes sense. I think sometimes what front offices don't value enough is continuity and allowing guys to grow and understand, you know, get comfortable in a system. And I think, you know, here with all the young guys they have, I mean, you know, I think it would help them a lot, but it's not my call.
Brian, what do you think when you hear that?
I think Stan Van Gundy makes a lot of really, really good points, especially in the idea of continuity being a problem. You're talking about Zion, you know, having his third coach in his as many years. Brandon Ingram, third coach in as many years. The same thing with the guy came over with Brandon Ingram. You're looking at Jackson Hayes and Nod, you know, how do they develop? It makes sense to hire a guy like Fred Vinson. The question is David Griffin going to get Fred Vinson the necessary tools needed? And I, as of right now, I have no faith in him. I continually will tell anybody that's willing to sit down and listen, David Griffin has a used car salesman on a lemon lot mentality. If you listen to him talk, he says absolutely nothing. A whole lot of words come out, but he says absolutely nothing. That's why many people got mad at me for saying I didn't think Teresa Witherspoon should get the job. Not because she's not talented, not because she's not a good coach, because David Griffin is not going to put her in a position to succeed. And if she fails, she may never get another opportunity.
That is why she doesn't need that opportunity with David Griffin and the Pelicans. Give her the job in Houston. Give it a, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, Orlando or somebody like that. Give her a job. Just not here where you have a GM that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And if at some point, we can't blame David Griffin, can't blame Stan Van Gundy, not Elvin Gentry, not Monty Williams, not anybody else. It has to start at the very, very top and Gail Benson. And at some point, she has to look and say, you know what? Do I treat one team like I treat the other one? Because the minute she treats the Pelicans, the way she treats the Saints, everything will change.
I think one of the things that's interesting that he said in this as well was that he's very close with Jacques Vaughn. And he pulled out, he claimed family. And I'm not saying that because I don't know. But I have had inklings since a few conversations where that may not have been completely the reason. I'm not saying that it wasn't.
You can't say obviously, it, I can.
Obviously, you know, you want you and your family to be happy. And you're, like you're saying, you only get so many cracks at a head coaching job. And look, I've been saying this. Brooklyn healthy. They're going to be a favorite next year.
Yep.
Go win a championship. Get the, and it's all about fit and situation. And obviously, listening to Stan Van Gundy today, it wasn't a good fit. It wasn't a good situation. And to the point that you're making, how and why did David Griffin think this was going to work? I mean, Stan Van Gundy sounds the same today like he sounded 3 months ago, like he sounded the day he got hired, like he sounds as an analyst on ESPN.
Yeah.
That's the same guy. I what, how did he change in your mind in that time? I mean, that's, it's interesting to me when you look at it. Look, the roster was an abject failure. It's one of the worst backcourts in the NBA.
It's the entire roster.
Stan himself says that you did not have good shooting. Yeah, he had no shooting.
And he didn't try to get any.
And so, look, I like the Willie Green name being thrown out there, and I'll give you a few reasons why in about 10 seconds and then go to General D. There's history with New Orleans. You got to want to be here.
Yep.
You also have a young coach that's still trying to learn, maybe more receptive to what the top is telling you to do. Because what I've gathered before I heard today is David Griffin's very hands-on. And after hearing what I heard today, you not only better be okay with that, but you're going to coach that way.
It's his ego.
So, but my point is, I mean, look, it happens in NFL and NBA. Jerry Jones, I mean, he's the GM, you know.
And where have the Cowboys been with that?
I understand that, my friend. I do. General D, thank you for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover. What do you have?
Yeah, I'm actually laughing when you were saying that because that's exactly what I was calling in to talk about. You know, I do agree to some extent that the Pelicans have may not been the fair haired child over there on Airline Highway. But in the same hand, I do believe this was Miss Benson's baby that she brought to New Orleans. And I don't see it ever going anywhere unless something catastrophic happens. With that being said, you know, just like you talked about, if you get too many people having influence into the coaching decisions, that's a problem. And I think that's what actually ran Jack Bona, and I called in a couple of weeks ago and talked about that. The thing that's got me concerned is Stan Van Gundy wasn't up for any jobs. Our process, supposedly, because we'd rather take a long time to get this thing right. A lot of the chairs are filling up. And I think that's what happened with Stan Van Gundy. And I think Griff was kind of sitting on the sideline saying, okay, well, I think I can bring this guy in because he is a guy that is noted for his defensive coaching and philosophy and so forth, and maybe shape some of these younger guys. And I think these guys that I bet on that were going to be, you know, veterans were going to come in and do something. But the problem is it's not the coach. It's not necessarily the organization at the top. It's the players that are there. And then there's also that has to be his leadership. And right now that all points to David Griffin. David Griffin is little Napoleon. He thinks he's the smartest man in the room. And just by what Stan Van Gundy said about maybe giving Fred Vincent a chance, there's not a shot in hell that Fred Vincent gets an opportunity here right now. And I think you talked about this the other day, is that in order to get this hire has to be right because the coach has to be right or Griffin is out the door. And the thing that is so ironic about everything is that people have a hard time sitting through his press conferences because it's laid with nothing but a lot of BS. It's a lot of coach speak, a lot of things that sound great in the public eye. But at the end of the day, this is a results business. And in order to win and lose, it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Johnny and Joes. So the Johnny and Joes have to be better. and you have some building blocks that need to be there. But right now, philosophy, you're getting down to guys that probably weren't even in contention for D-League jobs before the beginning of this year, and now we're talking about them being the head of the Pelicans organization as the coach. And I have a problem with that, but whoever they do it, it better get right. The question I pose to you guys is, you know, how can you start looking at free agents when you don't have a clear vision? That's one thing that happens on Airline Highway. There's always a clear vision for the player. There's a system that's in place. And right now, we don't know if we want to have point Zion or if we're going to have Zion being a big man that's going to shoot floaters or if we're going to run and gun or we're now going to be a slow, grinded out team because we have Steven Adams in the post. That's a problem for me. And until that changes, nothing is going to change. You're going to keep getting the same results. These other teams that are winning have a clear vision, and they've pulled pieces around and made them a strong franchise. You had teams that have all of a sudden went from not really winning a lot of games to winning games because they were able to see that you had some studs that were young players, but you surrounded them with some veterans that were gritty guys that knew what leadership was. We lost a ton of ball games at the end of ball games because we'd be looking around as to, well, who's taking over? What are we supposed to do? And sometimes that's what the veteran does. So my question, I guess, to you guys is, do you think that David Griffin is the right guy for this job? That's the real question. And if he's not, Miss Benson better make a change quick because this ship is going down and Zion is not going to be here in 2 years. And then we're going to have a Pelicans team that may be shipping out of town or just be the bottom doormat of the NBA like the Saints were at one time. That's what my thoughts were. Happy Friday and go Pels, but something better change and it better change soon. Thanks, guys.
General D, thank you for that. We'll expand on that when we return. Rafael Esparza will quickly visit with him, and then the phone lines will be open to Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
I can't really help it if my tongue's all tied in knots. Jumping off a bridge is just the farthest that I've ever.
Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of Pest Op, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. Got a question for you, John.
Mm-hmm.
How do you control fleas?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to give you a secret.
Okay.
If I gave you something to treat the inside that killed the adults, the pre-adult stage, in 24 hours you'd think I was a hero.
That's right.
And in 5 to 7 days you'd think I was a goat.
Okay.
Because you got to retreat. People forget about the pupa stage. They are protected in that stage. They'll survive a nuclear holocaust.
Wow.
So I'm just telling you, it's going to take several treatments to get rid of them, whether you're treating inside or outside.
I have watched you educate so many people on using your product. Tell us now where we can get it.
In Metairie, we're located at 3512 Severn Avenue next to the Pepper Mill. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190. That's in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams and Villery Florist. And on the West Bank, we're on the Palco just past the Harvey Bridge.
Because at Pest Stop,
we can help you with that.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
It's Mike to tell you for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails operate a comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, LaRoe, and Thibodeau.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. Rafael Esparza joins us at VSI Knock Sports over on Twitter. The daily Instagram video. Sir, how are you feeling? Let's just start there. You doing well?
I'm doing well.
Move and all that stuff. All right. Yeah.
It's going semi-smoothly, I guess, but
I have offered the moving services of Kleber and Kleber.
Ah, they were too pricey. I mean, geez, I couldn't even get ice cream out of them, let alone help me move.
Well, I can't get you any of these things if I don't know where you live.
Well, there's maybe it's a reason he's not giving you an address.
It's a reason.
Right, Brian? I mean, there could be a reason.
Raphael.
Brian. He
needs it's a family reunion around here, man.
Oh, man. I thought you, like, not only were you, like, maybe suspended on social media, but suspended for life.
I'm working on it.
Goals. Everyone needs goals in life.
Raphael, did you hear the big news from Brian today?
That Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Saints?
No,
man. He's got a punter retired.
He's not. That's not. Tell him the big news. Go ahead.
I'm actually moving to Denver, man. As of, like, next week, I will no longer be a resident of the great state that is really not a great state of Louisiana, and I will be moving to Colorado, man.
What part of Colorado?
Denver. Well, let me not say Denver. Nice. Aurora.
Okay, I have a lot of friends in Colorado, open up businesses and stuff like that, close to Boulder, so I hopefully we'll get back there sometime soon.
Send some of your friends my way, brother. I'm pretty sure that, you know, I'll have my people talk with their people and they can do lunch.
I just want to hang out with you people. Let's just do that. Let's just do that.
There's a guy, a good friend of mine, has a whole bunch of alcohol places there. So we definitely know who that is.
See, now you're talking my language.
Sir, let's talk a couple of things real quick, and we'll wrap up with the most important of them all. Let's start with the NBA Finals. Is it looking Milwaukee and Phoenix here, or can Atlanta somehow sneak away another game here on Saturday and force this to Game 7?
I think we do see a Game 7. It's going to be interesting if we do see a Game 7. Does Giannis even play? I don't even think he'll be able to play, maybe if he make it to the NBA Finals. What I'm hearing coming out of Milwaukee. So, I mean, let's face it, I think it's just the Suns to lose. Unless for some odd reason they have a devastating injury, it's just the Suns to lose. But I would like to see a healthy Hawks versus Suns. I think that'd be interesting with Trae Young and CP and Booker and all that. Because I don't want to watch a Milwaukee Bucks finals if there's no Greek Freak in it.
It's interesting. A lot has been made about what 9 2021 NBA All-Stars have had to miss games in the playoffs. And there's a great debate, Brian and Raphael, about this. Is it the condensed schedule? Is it the amount of games? I mean, the Trae Young thing was just literally a freak accident. The Greek Freak lands in a weird way. Now, I guess you can maybe say some of the other injuries might be somewhat related to that, or is it just a bunch of guys getting injured in a short amount of time that just happen to be big stars? I don't know. What do you guys think on this?
I'll take it first, man. It's the idea of, I think in some cases, which is exactly what you said, freak accidents. They happen. They're going to happen in the NBA season no matter what. But then some of the people who have been getting hurt are the same people we always hear getting hurt. Kyrie Irving is not a freak accident. He's an accident waiting to happen. Anthony Davis, not a freak accident. Accident waiting to happen. So in those cases, I don't think it's an injury thing because it's the of the season. I think it's the same guys, as always, who are always getting hurt, and it just makes it look worse.
I totally agree with him. It's not like we're seeing freak injuries from guys who are playing 82-game seasons, playoffs, and stuff like that. We're seeing the same guys that have Derrick Rose knees or hangnails and they can't play. It's the same guys we hear over and over injuries. And you said it, Greek Freak. I mean, just watching him land, it doesn't matter how many games he played. Watching him land on that knee, anybody will be out right now. So I'm not going to put an asterisk or nothing. I mean, the only person that wants to put an asterisk next to it is maybe LeBron, just because of him saying that he's not there no longer in the playoffs. But no, it's, most of them are freak injuries. Most of them are continue emergency ER patients time after time.
You know, I'm with you, and I am too. I would like to see, I mean, I'm watching the game last night, and not that the other guys on the court aren't, but you want to see Trae Young and Giannis on there, no doubt about it. Stanley Cup, Jordan, go ahead. You got tonight, Game 3. We spoke with Kerry Loftus from Tampa about this game. What do you have to ask Raphael?
Yeah, Raphael, Tampa's up 2-0 in the series, looking to make it 3-0. Tonight at 7 o'clock in Montreal, like Gus said. What are you seeing tonight on the ice?
The bettors think it's going to be a series of Montreal maybe winning this one. I think Montreal gets one of these games. I like tonight's game. You can get plus 115. I think Price plays much better at home. And I know that Tampa Bay have just been dominating the first two games. But like you said, Price is going to play better. The home team in the series has won 4 out of 5. I think Montreal kind of makes it a series, but I think Tampa Bay wins Game 4 and probably Game 5. But I'm going to take Montreal. I'm going to take the plus goal money tonight. Give me Montreal.
All I know right now is the Switzerland goalie right now is going to be black and blue. I mean, the Spanish are just shot after shot after shot on goal. We're in the 115th minute. We're in overtime here. Switzerland won, Spain won, Rafael. Where did you have this going into this game?
Spain were a heavy favorite. They were a minus one goal favorite. The total was 2.5, so a lot of money came in on the under. So probably lost a little bit on that. But if for some reason, if the Swiss, who've been playing with 10 men since, I think, the 75th minute,
yeah,
they can win in penalty kicks, we're going to take a lot of money because a lot of money is coming in on live bets right now on Espana. So it'd be kind of interesting to see what penalty kicks go, because I think we're going to go into penalty kicks pretty soon.
Well, they got a corner right now coming, or a side kick, not a corner, almost a corner kick throw in. Belgium, Italy coming up next, 2 o'clock Central on ESPN. Who you like and why?
A lot of nice hairdos be running around in Italy today at 3 o'clock. Well, Belgium, even though they advanced beating France, they lost not one but two key players. I think Italy has no problem winning this game today. I think they advance just because Belgium's missing two stars out of that lineup. Italy wins. They're plus 130 favorites. I think they advance. Small number for them to advance. You can only advance the next round. Only minus 145 for Italy. So grab all your pasta money and bet Italy to advance.
And tomorrow, Czech Republic taking on Denmark, Ukraine versus England. Who you like?
Czech Republic has just been giving us some great games, just making the books a lot of money. I want to continue with them. I think they upset Denmark in the first game. I'd like to check winning the first game. And England, even though I would love to watch them lose just because what they did the other day with the Germany national anthem, all the English people booed on that one. I thought that was kind of rude. I think England does advance them, but I'll probably be cheering for Ukraine, but I think England, but give me the check. Give me the plus money in the Czech Republic tomorrow.
Rafael, I kind of want to take it back to the NBA for a second. What are you getting on Kawhi Leonard? And what are the Clippers going to do? Are they going to try to keep it together, maybe add a piece or two? Or is this time to kind of blow this up and start all over and Kawhi Leonard go somewhere else? Because, again, one of those injured guys that are always, you know, that's always injured ended up injured again, and he kind of left everybody hung out to dry over there.
It's going to be very interesting what happens. I think they let him go. I think they have enough pieces. The way they played without him, mm-hmm. Maybe add a couple different pieces with maybe the draft or free agency. I like the way the Clippers, because you know the Clippers have learned a lot. That Tyronn Lue is a heck of a coach. His game by game play and adjustments he makes at halftime and all that. I think a lot of Clipper fans and a lot of Clipper players are going to give him his respect. And I think a lot of players are going to want to play for Tyronn Lue. So I would not be shocked they let Kawhi and his aching knees go bye-bye.
So Lonzo Ball to the Clippers is what I just heard. Gotcha.
Is that what I heard?
Gotcha.
Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I just heard Lonzo Ball to the Clippers.
Who comes back? Sign and trade. Who would you want from the Clippers?
Probably
you
know, an album.
Terrence Mann?
I like Terrence Mann. You can give me Kawhi in his knees. I could care less.
Kawhi and Mann?
Yeah, you can give me Kawhi in his knees.
Okay. You want Kawhi in his knees?
Kawhi in a Seattle Pelicans jersey will look pretty good.
You know what? That's it. Stop it. That's your one warning. No Seattle Pelicans. You and Jordan trying to get the Kraken over here. They haven't even played a game in Seattle, and you're trying to make the trade.
I thought it was the Kansas City Pelicans.
I'm moving to Kansas City.
Not the Louisville?
No, the commissioner said at the start of the playoffs, there's two teams that will get NBA teams. Seattle and Las Vegas, which would then I like.
Las Vegas Pelicans.
No.
West Coast, baby.
No, they're going to push New Orleans and Memphis then to the East, which is great because then you're facing Eastern Conference teams.
Only for the Pelicans to lose to Eastern Conference teams. Let's go, baby. All in.
Anyway, final and most important thing of the entire weekend, the hot dog eating contest.
I forgot about that.
Jordan would like to participate one day, but right now he says it's no shot. I mean, how many dogs would Jordan have to eat?
Dogs?
Yeah.
I'm not eating dogs.
Well, it's the hot dog eating contest. What are you eating?
Hot dogs.
Exactly. How many hot dogs would Jordan have to eat? Because who you got winning and how many hot dogs do you see being consumed by the winner, Rafael?
It's Joey Chestnut's going to win again. His total for the contest is over under 73.5.
Go. Go.
I cannot imagine
He is the greatest athlete in sports. And I'm putting hot dog eating contest above golf and above NASCAR.
Well, unfortunately, Rafael, we ran out of time, so we can't talk about the very latest on Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure he'd love to do that. It's the Sports Hangover. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it.
Take it easy, guys.
Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints next on ESPN New Orleans. Well, I've had enough. I can't put up with anymore.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Get more out of summer when you get more from the Home Depot and trusted brands like Behr Paint. Beat the summer heat by taking on a paint project indoors and keep things cool with 4th of July savings on paint and all the supplies you need. We're making sure now is the perfect time to give your home a refresh. How cool is that? 4th of July savings only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz. He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
What you doing over there, Gus?
Somehow I got stuck with my headset cord. I have the longest headset cord in humanity. And it always wraps itself around the chair and I almost like, you know, anyway. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints, Brian and Nola East, at least for now. You know all about Mr. Ross Jackson at Ross Jackson. Nola, Ross, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
What's going on, family? Good to hear from y'all, man. Hope everything's going well.
Doing well. Would you like to tell Ross as well that you're leaving since, you know?
Apparently, Ross, I have to tell everybody that calls in now. You know, my sad story that I would no longer be a Louisiana resident. I am actually moving to, I say Denver, but it's Aurora, Colorado. Yeah. Like, and I don't mean like, oh, a couple of months. I mean like as in like Tuesday.
I mean, he just walks in.
You love it up there, though, man.
Thank you. I'm just trying to tell him this.
Yeah, that's dope, man. You know, I mean, obviously, we're going to miss you around the city, of course, but, man, I'm glad for you, brother. That's great.
I'm still going to come back and terrorize every now and again.
I know it. I know you're coming through, man. You know, you can't live without us.
Of course. And, you know, for anybody that still, you know, knows my motto, I do office visits and house calls. It doesn't matter.
not order, to be honest.
The realist, man.
That is true. Would you like to lead off the Q&A with Mr. Ross Jackson?
Sure. Ross, man, now that we know the parameters of the Ryan Ramczyk, contract, do you see the Saints using that to make a move, or do you think they're kind of going to maybe kind of keep it close to the vest until it gets a little bit close to the camp before they make a move and maybe use their energy and effort to kind of get Marcus Williams out of the way now that they've got Ryan Ramczyk out of the way?
That's exactly it for me. I think right now you potentially look at the thing that has a deadline first, right? Deadline spurs action. And so I think that if you look at what's got a deadline, the only thing that's sitting ahead of you right now is Marcus Williams, making sure you get that contract extension done, the long-term deal done before July 15th. Otherwise, he has to play on that $10 million-plus franchise tag in 2021, which, of course, the Saints can carry, and they'll be fine if that's the case. But obviously, I mean, you look at this 2017 draft class and the attention that they've given it so far. It was something that helped to turn the franchise back around after some struggling 7-9 season, 2014 through 2016. And so I think right now you kind of take all of your resources, focus in on Marcus Williams, and then as you get closer to camp, where you still have a couple of weeks in between that deadline and camp beginning on the 27th with the universal reporting date to take a look at what that market might look like. And I won't expect them to utilize all, I think it's a little bit over $11 million that they have. I wouldn't be surprised to see them even go into the season with some extra money that they could look to roll over in that 2022 salary cap situation that they're facing as well.
Ross, a little known contract situation going on is the Teron Armstead contract situation, and nobody's talking about the fact that next year he's essentially a free agent. And with Teron Armstead, you also could potentially have, if they keep the franchise tag on to Marcus Williams available, and Marshawn Lattimore. Oh yeah, Jameis Winston as well. So if you're looking at the free agents that are coming, I just want to narrow it down to two, because I think if Jameis plays well, he's an automatic. He's back. What's the bigger guy to get a contract done? Is it going to be making sure your bookend tackles are there, or is it locking down a corner? Because we know how hard it is to find a lockdown corner, even though Marshawn Lattimore plays when he wants.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that, you know, getting the corner is, of course, extremely important, but this is a team that is always focused on building through the trenches. So unless Landon Young, who the Saints drafted in the sixth round, turns out to be this phenomenal right tackle and kind of a diamond in the rough, just like they found with Zach Strief, who, of course, is now on the coaching staff after a couple of years as being the voice of the New Orleans Saints, then you could potentially have him. They're going to work him in at right tackle, see what he looks like throughout camp. And then if he ends up panning out, then you could potentially see Ryan Ramczyk move over to left tackle, which is something that actually the contract infrastructure for his extension is already built in, with incentives for first and second team all-pro nominations and selections at the left tackle position specifically, to where you could see his salary cap go up $1 million per year. So I think that if you look at the sort of way that the Saints have everything set up, there's the potential there that they could be okay if they weren't able to, you know, if they needed to move on from Teron Armstead or something happened and they should have to move on from Teron Armstead. But I do think that prioritizing the offensive tackle, prioritizing the offensive line in the trenches feels like the very Saints thing to do, the thing that has kept them competitive here over the, you know, four seasons that they've had their playoff appearances. So while the cornerback position, of course, is extremely important, and I think that they'll do what they need to do to remain successful there and maintain talent there, I could see them maybe leaning and prioritizing a bit in terms of the long-term conversation, their offensive line above all else.
I'm doing my best to pay attention there. And penalty kick Switzerland and Spain here in the year 2020. I really honestly am.
Literally like about the ball to go.
Look, here's my thing. Switzerland gets the first one in. Now Spain. Here's the first of the five penalty kicks. Look, y'all can talk all that sense y'all want. Ross, tell me the truth. How many people in your mentions after the Ryan Ramczyk deal became official asked you, is Kawan Alexander coming back to your New Orleans Saints? I want to know about Kwan, baby. Let's go. How is he? How's he doing?
Look, I think everything that you have seen around
Brian, why
all
are you shaking
time...
your head, Brian?
I'm so sick of Kwan Alexander,
baby.
I mean, you would swear to God this dude was like Lawrence Taylor, Ricky
Mike
Jackson.
Singletary,
put in,
yes.
I mean, it's been put all into Absolutely. One linebacker. Did
yes.
anybody miss me?
And Ricky Wish.
Good Lord.
Okay, back to the answer. We're sorry, Ross. We'll shut up. Go ahead.
No. That was this is everything that I'm here for, man. Don't even worry about it. Look, when it comes to Kwan Alexander, remember that all of the hype videos and all the workout videos, everything that you're seeing around Kwan Alexander is still him rehabbing. It's not him being full go. It's not him having been cleared. Everything that you're seeing is still a part of his rehabilitation process over the course of the off season here. So is he ready to be signed? Is he available to be signed? Is he cleared to play? Those are all things that are still yet to be answered at this point. I mean, if he's working with Dr. Reif, he's still in the midst of his rehabilitation. So I'm not pulling the trigger on anything around Kwan Alexander. And, of course, as our good friend Nick Underhill also continues to point out, this is a team that has invested highly day two selections at the linebacker position. It would be a little bit of a stub on their own toe if they decided to bring in somebody to block the development that they see in some of these young linebackers that they have on the roster and that they believe in, that could potentially be able to produce next to Mario Davis as early as next year.
I'm sorry, Spain stopped
Jesus,
one. They did. No.
He literally almost fell out of the chair.
Switzerland could have gone up 2-1. Spain blocks it. The next one, here's the Spain kick. Another block. Two blocks out of three penalty kicks. You realize how difficult that is? The Swiss goalkeeper is doing incredible. I'm sorry, Brian, back to you.
You got to remember the last one. I mean, the Switzerland and France, when they went, I mean, it was goal, four down until that final kick. So I that two out of three is pretty impressive.
This dude's incredible. Brian, go ahead.
If he does that again and you hear a loud thump, you know exactly what just happened.
Brian, what you mean to say is I have no idea what happened.
You know what? You're right. We're back to the Fifth Amendment again.
It looks like Brian's going to have to take over the show because Gus has cracked
dude,
open his
I
head.
Mean, my hands are – this. I love penalty kicks in soccer, man. This is good stuff, man.
With the Saints being said, man, I guess, Ross, I'll ask you, man, since somebody else is, you know, all into the soccer right now.
Wrong football, Gus.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't think he understands how this works around these parts. It's not the New Orleans Football Club. That being said, when it comes to the quarterback situation, much has been made about the idea that there's a Jameis Winston / Taysom Hill battle, and, you know, mm-hmm. Ian Book will somehow get snaps whatever way he can. Do you really think it's a quarterback competition, or is it Jameis's? Is it his job to lose, considering if you watch the offseason workouts and things that are going on, I haven't seen a single player mention Taysom Hill, much less work out with him.
Yeah, there's been a really interesting sort of two diverging paths in terms of how both of these quarterbacks have gone about the offseason part of this quarterback competition, right? You see Jameis Winston kind of being a little bit more transparent. Everything's going on social media. He's working out with Jay Glazer, who, of course, is a very good friend of Sean Payton's, and he's doing all of this work, flying wide receivers out, housing them, doing all of this. But then you've seen a very quiet, sort of reserved approach when it comes to Taysom Hill. Now, Taysom Hill did mention that he had been working with players the month before minicamps, but didn't really disclose who those players were or how that real makeup ended up, you know, what that actually ended up looking like. And Quan Baker mentioned that he's trying to make sure that he's developing a rapport and communication and familiarity with every quarterback on the roster. So the young guy's doing the right thing there coming out of South Alabama in the seventh round. But when it comes down to it, Brian, I do think that there is legitimacy to this quarterback battle, even though for me, Jameis Winston is ahead in the early parts of the conversation. Just looking at the maturity that he's shown, the leadership that he's shown, everything that you're seeing him do and the work that he's continuing to put in over the offseason, he's doing and saying all the right things before hitting the field. Now we'll see what it looks like when he's on the field. But I do think there's legitimacy to the quarterback battle. Taysom Hill is somebody that has won games for the New Orleans Saints before, that Sean Payton absolutely loves, that this franchise has believed in and has put resources into, and then Jameis Winston comes in with a resume of a starting quarterback first overall selection, which I don't think we talk about enough because we spend so much time focusing on a fluke 30 interception season that I do think is more of an anomaly than the regular. So I will put Jameis Winston ahead, but I think that there's actual validity here into how this could all shake out over the course of the training camp session, even if it does end up being Jameis's sort of job to lose. There's still a real opportunity here for either one of these quarterbacks.
Ross, one of the things that was interesting to me as well in, I guess, some of the videos that we saw from Jameis last week working out with some guys, Tre'Quan Smith was there. Back on Tuesday mm-hmm. with Maddie, she was in studio, and we talked about the position group, the receiving position group, and, you know, who could step up, who can kind of maybe take advantage of a certain type of quarterback or not. Tre'Quan's been, you know, described as a good blocker, so if that happens to be mm-hmm. Taysom. But I liked seeing Jameis get handsy, like Drew Brees did, right? Like when they were at the goal line, when they were working on the back shoulder throw mm-hmm. at the goal line, he's telling where he wants them to go. That's specific. That is something that this is where I like to throw it. This is where I'm going to expect you. And yep. that's building that rapport that it's going to help, right? Like literally putting your hands in a receiver. This is where I want you to be. This is how I want you to run the route. And then you see them throwing it and completing it. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, detail orientation, focus, and predictability are all things that came with Drew Brees. When I say predictability, I don't mean for the opposing defense. I mean for the offensive unit around them. They knew the routine. They knew where the ball was going to be. They knew where Drew wanted to place a pass, how it was going to be thrown, where to be, all of those things, and when to be. I think you're seeing Jameis Winston, and I imagine Taysom Hill too, but of course, like we just mentioned, we're seeing Jameis Winston do this right now because he's a little bit more open with his off-season preparation. But we're seeing Jameis Winston kind of take a similar route, right, to where he's showing the detail orientation, he's building the routine, he's building the rapport. He's been working a ton with Tre'Quan Smith, who, by the way, is somebody that, in terms of opportunity, talent, and potentially even intent of offense, has the ability here, if all three of those things come together, he has the ability here to have a huge 2021 season in a contract year, which I know some people look down upon, but if you're a team that starts winning games because you have a viable wide receiver too, you don't care if it's a contract year, right? You're getting a productive wide receiver there, and you might see that from Tre'Quan Smith, especially if Jameis Winston does end up being the quarterback. With all of the work they've put in together, with all of the rapport that they've seen, this might be the most exciting offseason we've seen around Tre'Quan Smith since his 2018 rookie year where he like really went off in camp. So it'll be interesting to see. And you get an opportunity here to get him back on the outside where he played at UCF, where he had 19.8 yards per catch when it came to his senior season, over 1,000 yards, double-digit scoring. And then you also see Jameis Winston, who before the 2019 season targeted those outside wide receivers 47.1% of the time, which between 2009 and 2019 was second most amongst all quarterbacks, and Jameis didn't even start throwing the ball in the NFL until 5 years after that. So this is a really good sort of makeup and opportunity for Tre'Quan Smith. Now it's about, can he make the opportunity meet that preparation and that sort of opportunity that's going to be there for him with a new intent of offense?
Ross, we get you out of here with this one, brother. I've been noticing, you know, when it comes to the New Orleans Saints and the way they're designed right now, I wanted to kind of, you know, maybe get your take on the idea of, how do you see it playing out as far as a situation with 2021, 17-game season? It's going to be the first time where we have a new quarterback. Of course, you know, new players pretty much all over the place because defensively. And all of a sudden now, here comes this rookie, and everybody kind of throws their arms in the air because nobody wants him in Peyton Turner. Kind of reminds me of another rookie that they drafted at the late part of the draft named Ryan Ramczyk, which he surprised a lot of people. How do you see Peyton Turner turning out? Because he is a new face, but he seems to be infectious and all of the guys around him just love him right now, especially a guy like Cam Jordan. And I've never seen him do that with Marcus Davenport. What are your thoughts on what Peyton Turner could be if he continues to be under the wing of a Cam Jordan in the way that the team just seems to kind of gravitate towards him now?
I got to tell you, I mean, when you look at his build, you look at how it is that he fits into the Saints prototype at the position, his ability, his length, his size, his speed, his explosiveness, all of that just works with what fits within the New Orleans Saints sort of prototype at that position. Then you look at the personality. He has a bit of a star factor in his personality, always smiling. He's you know, always willing to talk to a camera whenever a camera's around. Like, there are all these little things that I think are really, really great about Peyton Turner that, look, I never want to discount anything when it comes to the New Orleans Saints and the draft, because you mentioned Ryan Ramczyk, but let's remember what the immediate reaction was to also Alvin Kamara when the Saints had Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson. What the reaction was to C.J. Gardner-Johnson being drafted in the fourth round after a major drop outside of the top 100, and they were still met with questions because of the fact that they had drafted a safety when it didn't look like safety was a need. This is what the New Orleans Saints have always done. They go out there, they don't draft based on need, they draft that based on the best player available, and they continue to hit because of that, because they get the best player as opposed to trying to maybe scrounge up somebody that could potentially go out there and affect you and have an impact right away. I think that Peyton Turner can surprise a lot of people. He's certainly intent on doing it. Dylan Sanders did a phenomenal interview with him where he talked about exactly that. He loves being a part of a franchise that has a passionate fan base, and he looks forward to proving some right, some wrong, whatever it looks like in 2021. I'm actually a little excited about what Peyton Turner could bring in his rookie season.
I don't know if I brought it up before, but Peyton Buckshot Turner, that's my name. The cowboy hat and boots, Peyton Buckshot Turner. Look, I told you this already, Ross. The Outlaw Gang, CD News, he's the leader. I mean, he's Billy the Kid, right?
Oh, they're about that.
Throw him in there.
Worst season ever.
Ross, don't encourage this kind of behavior. Do not encourage him.
And you know who else in the group who comes in late?
I just want him to keep going, man.
And you know who comes in late to save the day? Quad Alexander, baby, with the black trench coat. That's what I'm saying.
Ross, we're going to go to break real quick. Gus and I have to have a talk.
Y'all have a phenomenal one, y'all. I appreciate
you. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. Love Ross Jackson. He's incredible.
He's great.
Yeah, you're shortchanging him. He's incredible.
Incredible, brilliant, great.
He really is.
Elite.
No, he is.
A bunch of adjectives to describe Ross.
Man. I agree.
That's my guy.
Kind of like me. It's the Sports Hangover.
Oh, wait. Oh. New Orleans. Have to deal with ups and downs. So listen
to your heartstrings as they make the sound. Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from eTel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. eTel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Time is money.
Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeaux Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeaux Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeaux Regional.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. What do you think of my idea, Brian?
I think it has some merit. I think you can kind of craft this.
I'm telling you.
But the name that you came up with.
What?
Not no.
What?
Hell no.
What name?
Whatever you thought, the Outlaws or Billy Boondocks or whatever.
No,
you
I didn't say Billy Boondocks. I was saying CD Deuce is Billy the Kid. He's the leader of the gang.
No doubt about that.
I mean, Alvin Kamara flat out said, you ever been in a fight?
Then that's the guy you want with you.
And that's the guy you want with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to have that, you're going to have, you know, Alvin
Peyton
and
Buckshot
CD.
Turner.
I think
Alvin's in there.
Alvin's definitely in there.
I want to see them all ride on a horse into the
Dude, I'm telling you, we can make this happen right on the
I think so. Yeah. It could be like the old Don't Patrol poster, man.
I'm serious. This works. Paulson Adebo. I loved hearing him after the draft. That guy had a bit of an attitude. I like it.
Yeah, it happens when, you know, you don't want to get vaccinated.
but hey. COVID got no chance.
It's him and COVID. Right there. Take 10 paces spin. Let's see who wins.
Anybody that was willing to take, there goes my mic. If anybody's willing to take COVID.
I mean, hey, it's him. I wouldn't mind putting Mike in that too.
Mike who?
Mike Thomas. I wouldn't mind putting Mike in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason why CD Deuce got, you know, famous in the locker room in the first place.
See, I don't know.
Call them the Rough Riders.
Is that really Mike though?
Mike?
Mike does talk a lot of smack on the field. So I guess that's.
Maybe. The man scored a touchdown and did a tribute to Joe Horn. Kelly doesn't care about DBs across the league.
All right. All right, he's in. So maybe. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara in offense.
Yes.
Jameis is going to want to be in.
Jameis has to be.
Jameis is going to be one of those guys. Like, guys, come on, let me in. I want to be on the poster.
He doesn't even have to ask.
Well, naturally the slinger, right? Yeah, I mean, he's slinging the football, right?
Yeah. It's the idea. If you've ever heard any Saints player describe Jameis Winston, they always say the same thing. Jameis is a wild boy.
The Wild Boys?
The Wild Boys? Well, you know what?
Jameis in the middle?
We
Buckshot Turner to his left?
Do a tribute to New Orleans and we can call them the Hot Boys.
I'm being serious. Like,
so am I.
I love Peyton Turner's personality.
Oh, I mean, it's infectious.
You said that he's the next face of the team. Always said that.
Yeah. Face of the franchise. It's my guy.
I love Alvin Kamara's leadership. Like, again, last year, he went on the field and grabbed, you know, CD Deuce when he was on the floor and said, get up, I need you.
Yeah,
and then go on the next play. We played the sound of a player that I think looks the part, Marquez Callaway, and he attributed Alvin Kamara as the guy that kept coming up to him before the games when we had all those injuries and he had to go play. And he says, look, go out there, make a play, make a play, be there, be ready. That's Alvin. That's leadership. I said last year that guy took a step up, man.
It bothers me that so many people feel like because Drew is gone, and, you know, we all love what Drew did for the city. We love what Drew did for the Saints. But everybody just feels like the Saints are going to fall off a cliff because Drew left. I mean, 7-1 when he's not there is not a bad thing.
Why are you pointing to me?
Oh, you're one of those people.
I didn't say that. I didn't know. See, I'm being mischaracterized.
When I said 11-6, he almost fell out of his chair.
I'm being mischaracterized. Okay?
I don't think so.
No, I am. I'm being mischaracterized. What I said was there are a lot of ifs that need to happen.
Yeah, if the quarterback last year would have been able to throw past 15 yards without his arm falling off, maybe the Saints win. That's an if for you.
If.
Wow.
Just saying.
Wow.
If he doesn't have one of the worst games of his career at the very worst time he could possibly have it, maybe it's different.
If.
Just saying. Would he go like 1 for 36 with his first couple of passes?
I mean, all you had to tell me that all I had to do was just play this.
I'm finished with this guy.
Jesus.
Just saying.
You know, he did win a Super Bowl for this team, though, right?
Yeah, how many, you know, there are kids right now that are like, this is like the Dallas Cowboys talking about the Dusty Trophies.
Oh, come on. It was just a couple years ago.
A couple, like what?
A decade?
It's over a decade.
Our kids are around the same age. They don't know the Saints to win a Super Bowl. They don't know that. It's almost like yesteryear.
Well, let's not compare it to like the bag days and the pre-Sean Payton days. I mean, they had generations of people.
You know what?
But it has been over 10 years.
Let me make the phones blow up. Huh. Drew Brees is the reason why the Saints haven't won a Super Bowl over the last 4 years.
No, we're not doing that. No.
It's his fault.
No, it was not his fault.
Really? Did they go scoreless against Minnesota in the first half of that game? Who's the quarterback?
Okay, well, where was your new face of the team in certain those plays?
What you mean?
Yeah, where was Cam Jordan?
Out there grinding and doing his job.
Yeah, where's Latavius Murray?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, a 6'3", 230-pound beast, but the coach decided to put him on the sideline next to him.
I've referenced that several times. Just like I never got over the Josh Hill thing, you will never get over Latavius Murray facing his former team in the playoffs, and he was never used.
6'3", 230 pounds. You know who everybody celebrates? Travis Henry. Oh, my. Derrick Henry. I'm sorry. Derrick Henry. Oh, my God. He's such a big guy. Look at him run. The Saints have one of those.
Do they?
You wouldn't know it.
Who would that be again? Because I didn't see him play.
I didn't see him play either. Yeah.
He's called the Tay Train.
I also saw a tight end fumble the football, too.
Oh, boy. All the lines are lit up, buddy.
It's not my fault. It's Drew's fault. Scoreless against Minnesota. He throws a duck of an interception when he's getting sacked for the NFC Championship game.
Right.
It's 2019. Do I need to bring up what happened there?
You're not blaming Drew Brees.
Well, I'm not.
The line didn't block for him against the Rams.
Oh, the line didn't block for him. Yeah, that worm burner he threw to Michael Thomas that skipped a couple of times.
Well, he was tired from carrying the team because the defense didn't stop the Rams. What about giving up a touchdown before halftime?
Do you know the Saints have not given up over 23 points, I believe, in the last, like, maybe 8 playoff games? Mm-hmm. You know what the offense has scored? Maybe 24. Maybe 24 if they're lucky.
Leon, give me your best 30 seconds. Go.
Hey. Mike, I'll miss you, bro.
Appreciate you, bro.
Welcome back. Welcome back and going to miss you. Put it that way. Hey, I wanted to comment, bro. I don't see everybody's thinking that Jameis is going to be bad quarterback. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think he's with the right coach. He's with the right team. And Coach Payton's going to put him in a position to play to his strength. That means everybody on defense now around the league needs to be on notice. The Saints are going to stretch the football field. Under no uncertain terms, I'm fully expecting the Saints to open their passing game up. I mean, I think we're going to see it, man. And I'm excited because, like I said, he has a live arm. We know he can chuck the rock.
You mean to have a quarterback that can throw farther than 15 yards without his arm falling off?
That's all the time we have. Thank you for the phone call. Randy from the West Bank, I will come to you first, and then we'll bring on Scott Kushner. So, Randy hung up. I could come to you if you talk again, though. 2 hours in the books. Scott Kushner, his thoughts on what SVG had to say on stupidity.